Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You ask, Dirt and Sprague answer.
Yeah.
This is the Mail Sack.
Mail Sack time.
Mail Sack.
Brought to you by Sparta TRT.
This is Sparta!
Committed to safe, simple, straightforward testosterone replacement and male performance therapy. Go to SpartaTRT.com for more.
Mail Sack.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Happy Tuesday, everybody. And it's Tuesday. It's final hour. That means it's time for the Mail Sack, brought to you by Sparta TRT. Whether you're hitting the gym or just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge and win at the second half of life. SpartaTRT.com.
I meant to get a potato, like a big sack, and write Sparta TRT on it for the segment.
How's your tea feeling today?
Tea's feeling good.
Tea's feeling good?
Tea's feeling great. Okay. I'm lifting more weight now. Everybody should be lifting weights, big, small, doesn't matter, just lift.
It's good for your lifting.
Bones.
Yes, it is.
Worried about Swigart over there. In about 10 years, he's going to be feeling the effects of not lifting. I'm going to pick him up. He'll be slouched over in the chair. Like, my legs hurt. All I do is run.
He's like the grandfather from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
You got to use those things, man.
Yeah.
Mail Sack question. Given this is the first time the Blazers have made the playoffs in 5 years, is this a top five or top 10 Blazer team of all time? No. What are we doing here?
What's the next question?
What are we doing here? No.
Of all time?
No.
Do you know how many teams are above this team that you don't even remember?
Let's just rattle off the top of our heads. 77-78 before the Walton injury. There's probably 1 and 2. 89 and 92 can be 3 and 4. Those are finals teams. I'll throw 2000 in there. There's your top five right there.
Well, how about the teams
and that's not counting
that didn't even make the finals? The right. Teams that lost and got
the
up?
The team that lost to the Lakers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The other teams around the Clyde Drexler era. 1999's conference finals team. 2019 conference finals team.
Like, what's the best team this team could beat in a series?
Currently in the playoffs or in Blazer history?
Like, if I took the 89 Blazer team,
we would get swept.
Well, yeah, they also, if I just took them in a time machine and brought them to this and we played a basketball game tonight,
the three-point
shot would rock their brains. They'd be like, wait, why are you guys shooting 43s?
MJ did it to them in the finals and shrugged.
You're not wrong to point
that team
out.
Made the finals.
Is that person, like, in the last...
I don't know. I don't know if that's a jokey question. I don't know. I can't tell. If there is sarcasm behind that, I apologize for not getting the sarcasm front there.
Here's a question. Will it be top five playoff teams you never remember?
Dude, we were lucky to beat the Phoenix Suns in the play-in game.
Yeah, we needed a Herculean effort by Denny Avdia for that to happen.
And it took the best player on the other team slamming his face through the floor to not get swept in the first round of the playoffs.
We would have been swept. I'm happy that they made the playoffs.
Yes! Good experience, that's fine. Yeah. 2% chance, like whatever. We don't need to debate that anymore.
First that's got to be trolling. That's like, trolling.
Has to be trolling. Mail Sack question. If you could be in the booth with the announcer for any sports call, which would you want to be in there for? I'm a Mariners fan, born in 96, would have loved to be in the booth for Dave Niehaus in the 95.
Oh, so the history.
Here comes Junior.
You guys are both going to be boring and predictable. Go ahead, tell me. Go ahead. Come on. Say it.
Shot fired. I don't know. I don't know what my pick is.
Miracle. Al Michaels.
I mean, it's a pretty good call. It'd be cool to be there.
Everybody's going to say it. The booth's full. Everybody's picking the same event. Hey, can I fit in here? Yeah, man, just squeeze in right there. All right. Oh, yep. Okay.
I think I would choose Tiger's chip in 2005. Was it five or two? Which
the
year
Vern
was the DeMarco
call?
Chip?
Is that
with the Nike logo hanging on the edge?
Yeah.
In your life.
In your life.
I think I'd want to be up there with Vern.
Vin with Kirk Gibson's home run. Yep.
I'm going to go...
Go ahead. Pick your stupid choice. Your obvious dumb choice. What are you going to choose?
Well, okay, now what would you... I filled it in. What would mine be?
Something stupid.
Say it.
I don't have anything.
Okay.
Because I'm going to let you answer the question.
Doc at Omaha?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, that's a good one, though.
The first one?
The second one.
Oh, okay.
The first one was, holy crap, they finally did it.
Yeah.
But they had kind of built that up. The second one was, what? Back to back. Brent Musburger... with the super hot that was the girlfriend of the quarterback from Alabama. When they kept
zooming
in. That's
what you want to be in the booth for?
I want to see how uncomfortable everybody is. Musburger had a raging erection at that point. Like, what are you doing right now? This is a pivotal football game, buddy.
I think they're still married.
Stay focused.
They're still together.
AJ what? Well, he's
AJ
running for,
McCarron.
He's
AJ
running
McCarron.
For office, I think.
He's coaching football.
Isn't he running for local office?
Was he going the Tommy Tuberville route?
I have no idea. I think he's the coach of like the Birmingham Inglisentons.
Oh, really?
In the UFL?
The Birmingham Dons.
If I was to go, are they still the Stallions?
I don't know.
I have to go really serious, though, because that one would be more of a fun-natured one. It'd have to be some monumental upset. Doc Parker probably cried after the second one. That's not a bad pull by you.
I imagine he cried after the first one.
What about the last Keith Jackson Rose Bowl?
Yeah, 2006 Rose Bowl would be cool. Texas and USC.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. What were the emotions like? Because you probably get to see the fallout result of the broadcast, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He signs off.
Wraps
and then
it up.
The hugs.
Was that his last one ever with Texas USC? Or did
I
he do it one
so.
After
I think you're right.
Was
no, I think you're right.
No, I think that was it.
What a game to go out on, man. Mail sack question. What is the most hilariously bad sports motivational speech that you have ever experienced?
Aaron Judge for the
I think experience,
World
baseball,
class.
I think it's to you.
Oh,
it's my
me?
Inferring of that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm inferring that in there.
So
you've ever experienced
given
it like you were given a speech that fell flat.
Well, does fall flat
I'll
mean
give
like
one.
I laughed about it and it didn't motivate me?
Yes. I'll give one. We had a boss. Would it have been three bosses ago? Because we got Big Man Cooley.
Okay. Yeah.
We had the lovely Kim Martinez.
Right. Yeah.
Prior to her.
Bill.
Yeah.
We had Bill.
Yeah.
Bill never knew our names. What? Bill was here for a while. He was really into jazz.
He wasn't really here for a while.
He may or may not have been into Sprague. There might have been a thing there. hanging out at coffee shops after
Well, Bill
hours,
was here for a while.
Listening to trumpets.
Bill was only in charge for a short period.
It did not last very long, and I don't remember
Hold
anything.
On, you think he wanted to?
I think he was into something there. I think he was barking up your tree, buddy. And hey, what
we
are you
can
doing
let
tonight?
Swag be the judge of this. So we went out.
If you get invited out to go listen to saxophone music and have a glass of wine,
while also telling me your wife is out of town.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You think so?
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, what are you doing tonight?
Wow.
You want some Chardonnay?
Nice Riesling.
I don't remember any specific speech he ever gave, but he had the personality of cardboard.
The
no
people
offense,
who I
like
want to
guy,
want
but...
me never want me.
No.
And the people I never suspect, I'm like, someone says something, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, you're into me, huh? Just
no
like that.
Way.
I just remember like randomly having those meetings. I think we were still noon to three at the time, so you'd have those like all staff meetings at 10, and we get in there, do some rallying speech for the sales crew, and like, this. That's it? That's all we got? All right.
It was a lot
he
of
got
like,
fired like 4 months later.
It was a. There was a lot of, you guys can do it. I believe in us.
We're in this.
Hooray! The jazz festival
together.
Is this summer.
Now I'll flip that one. What's the best motivational speech you've ever been given from a coach or a boss?
Tough, because Park Rose never won.
Didn't have a
so,
lot of
like,
those.
Me telling you what the best one would be doesn't result in a win.
Yeah, we
doesn't
have one.
Doesn't need to result in a win. Like
no,
you won
not
the
necessarily.
PIL.
We have one. I'll never forget. So my junior year at Cleveland, we went 0-9 and lost every game. I want to say by an average of like 35 points. Didn't win a game
right.
My junior year.
Right.
And on the last game of the year, we played Lincoln at Lincoln, and we lost 56-0. I mean, I couldn't get a first down. We just got killed. Game's over in the first quarter. And we were at that point, the season's over, you're 0-9. We took the bus right home. Everybody's laughing, having a good time because season's done. You're kind of like, finally, we got over with that. And we got pulled into the school. And I'll never forget, my coach stood up in front of the bus and just screamed his face off for 15 minutes about how we, you know, shameful it was that we didn't care about winning. He said he was going to quit. I don't want to do this anymore. You guys aren't worth coaching. And it sparked. It sparked an offseason of like, damn, that's kind of a good point. None of us care that we just lost the game 56-0. Nobody has any pride in this whatsoever.
Oh, it worked.
And we went 7-2 and won the PIL the next year.
I'll give you a good one that didn't work that I will never forget. It was my first year playing youth tackle football. I got to play a little bit before most of my friends, and I was super excited about that. Now, in the moment, at the age, I was the fastest kid on the team. Now, that certainly did not continue as we got older, but in the moment,
yes.
I was the fastest kid. And I'll never forget, the head coach was the dad of a couple players, and one of his kids, this is routine at this point, were crying during practice because this guy was straight out of Central Casting, the 80s dad.
Yeah.
But it's not the 80s. and he pulls his kid by the face mask out of the line. His kid
he goes
is
Lou
like
Holtz on him,
sniffling, crying. Like, all right, and we're all we're all witnessing parental abuse, but none of us are going to report it or say anything.
He used to make us men.
And he grabs his kid by the face mask. He yanks him out of the line, and he looks at us and he goes, "You see him? He's a little bitch. Don't be a little bitch."
I mean, that's not about to.
And we're all like,
"Yes, coach.
Your coach." Got back in line, didn't know the home drill. We didn't win any games.
Nah.
We never won any games. In fact, famously, during a game, he grabbed his own kid in the middle of a game and tossed him onto the field.
That's my guy.
Because his kid came off. He's like, "I think it hurt my arm." He's like, "The hell you did."
He's our guardian of victory.
Like, even in that era, parents like were like, "Whoa, maybe we should do something.
It's a little much."
This is why we grew up tough, man. There Swag, you remember a good speech?
Senior year basketball, we had lost in five overtimes by a bucket at Oregon City. That game went on so long, the girls who played at Lake Ridge had already come back and watched the end of it.
Mm.
And our coach there, and it was really, you know, understated. We were exhausted, you know. And all he came in and he said, "If you guys give me that level of dedication and effort the rest of the season, I promise you we're going to have a special season."
Yeah.
And that was it.
Well,
it sunk in and you did it.
That's a emotional feel-good moment. JV basketball, when I was a sophomore, our coach showed up late, clearly had a good time before practice started, came in and said,
glaucoma was acting up.
Glaucoma was flaring up.
Yeah, I'd hate when that happens.
And like, I love that coach. He loved me. He named a play after me. But we were like, "Hey, coach, you got any words?" He goes, "You want some motivation? Give me a ham sandwich and I'll get it to you."
You got to earn this, man. You're not getting it for free.
We're in basketball uniforms right now. A ham sandwich.
I'm hungry as hell, dude. This is glaucoma. It's making me hungry, man. All right, more mail sack to come. That's half of it.
Mail sack.
That's right. Looks like the YouTube's having some issues. We'll see if we get that resolved in the final 45 minutes of the show. We'll get back into the Blazers and Spurs, a little more Sparta TRT mail sack next on The Fam.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He said Sprague had Sprague and Bill had a Diana Rossini, Mike Vrabel moment. Sprague had no idea. You had no idea that was going on, did you?
Okay. Let me just state for the record, the walking moment. So we go to this bar.
I was thinking
show.
Of dudes.
I'm sure you were. 12 to 3 show.
Yeah, I bet you were.
We go to the... We go get drinks. I end up sitting at one of those short pub tables that only can hold two people at a time. But
remember the days we used to go get beers all the time after Friday shows? Oh, God, it was the best.
Text the wife. Hey,
it's 3 o'clock.
Got meetings. I won't be out till 4. I'm out like a third beer. It's me and him. I'd never met him. The last guy before him fired me 4 times in a meeting. So I was just like, maybe this relationship will be a little
this
more.
This guy seems a lot nicer.
And he goes, what are you up to this weekend? And I was like, you know, I don't know. Kids kind of got something going on. He goes, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, I don't really know yet. And he goes, well, my wife's out of town. And
it's so deep. It's so long.
It's a jazz festival. There's a jazz concert tonight at a speakeasy. And you want to go? Do you want to hang out and get a beer? And I was like, let me ask my wife.
That's your booty.
I came back with the biggest lie of all time. It was it was a fake phone call on the sidewalk, and I'm like, dude, she just reminded me. We got her aunt's birthday tonight.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
There's no good way to get out of that.
No. Not in any way.
Not in any way.
But let me rain check you, though. Can I rain check you? Huh? Yeah. Anytime, Bill. You and me,
what do you want to do with me, man?
What are we doing here? All righty, mail sack continued. Sparta TRT mail sack goes on to mail sack question. What is a show or a movie from when you were a teen or in your 20s that you look back and wonder, why did I like that? This is easy for me.
Why did I like
that? I watched True Blood.
I don't even know what that is.
Thank you. You shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Hey, speaking of me and Bill.
It was an HBO vampire show.
Yeah, speaking of me and Bill, vampires.
Yeah.
Oh.
Male vampires from one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were doing it.
By the way, you weren't in your teens. You were in your 20s. I was working with you.
That was the question. Teens or 20s?
You got really defensive when I made fun of you back then.
It's a really bad show. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's horrible.
Bad shows. I've had a lot of them.
Melrose Place.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That show was horrible.
OC?
I was a pretty big OC fan. That's my Melrose
Place. Melrose Place was just dumb.
Yeah.
It was just looking at hots. That's all it was.
The OC was.
That's all it turns into.
Marissa's mom is sleeping with her ex-boyfriend. I wish I was the ex-boyfriend. Hey, Marissa's dead. Ryan is a brooding teenager with no real home. It was Melrose Place for my time.
Yeah. It's like watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians now, if it ever finds its way on your TV. You're watching for one reason.
R.I.P., but Dawson's Creek.
I never did Dawson's Creek.
Oh, yeah. It was the whitest show I watched.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Mail sack, I broke my femur during a bicycle race, and I'm beyond bored laying around the house. What's the worst injury you've ever had?
I had knee surgery in college. That was terrible. I had no support. I was in Corvallis. I was really poor. It was awful. I had a crutch everywhere, and I lived like a mile off campus.
Crutching your way into school.
Crutched my way, hitching rides. I couldn't do anything for the first like month and a half. I had a huge cast. It was swollen. I was 20 years old. It was the worst. That's the injury.
Swag, you got a bad one?
I was like 11 or 12. My mom loves horses. She grew up with horses, and so there was this dude ranch.
That your mom went to?
What?
We went as a family. She went to college with one of the sons that ran it.
Okay.
One of the dudes.
Yeah. So we had gone out there several different times. It's out east of Pendleton.
Okay, it's pretty deep.
But they had a pool that was fed by a natural hot spring and the suspension bridge over the Umatilla, all that stuff. But one summer I went out there and we went from the river into the hot spring pool. We were going back and forth, but I forgot to put on sunscreen and I got the worst sunburn on my back and shoulders. Like it was awful.
Let's talk about this. Could you move? Because I also got burned in Puerto Vallarta.
I had to sleep on my back and shoulders got it worse than my chest.
Yeah.
So I slept like all sprawled out, spread eagle, face forward.
Yep.
And like I didn't want to be moved.
Couldn't touch you. No
sheets. You could not put enough aloe on my back. Like,
but you didn't want it aloe on because it sucks that initial cold, man. And that feeling of being touched.
It hurts, yeah.
That happened to me in Puerto Vallarta. I had to lose a whole day of vacation.
I wasn't down. Dude Ranch, not so much my place.
You're not an urban cowboy, is that what you're telling me?
No, you know, the horse.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude.
Whatever.
Are you doing?
My mom's like,
terrible vacation.
So the only saving grace was in one of the barns, there was a basketball court up on the top. So I could at least shoot hoops.
That's all I would have been doing, man.
That's all I was doing.
Yeah, good call.
And so there was like two family horse rides where we all went and whatever. Okay, fine.
Yeah, we could do that.
And the food was amazing. Like the food, like home style cooking, everything from scratch.
Those horses go
down. I've never broken a bone. The only surgery I've ever had is to get my appendix removed. So that probably counts.
How old were you?
I was in middle school, sixth grade, seventh grade.
Didn't have your nobody's had tonsils out?
Did not have tonsils out.
I guess I had
wisdom teeth out. That was kind of, they give you some cool drugs for that. That was more enjoyable, I think, in the aftermath of it.
I've only had one taken out, and they just numbed the hell out of it. They didn't even give me drugs.
Yeah. I had eight teeth pulled in one sitting.
Eight?
The four babies, and then the permanent teeth were coming in behind them. It was before I was going to have braces, and my jaw's smaller than all the teeth. So they needed to, on the
they
corners.
They removed eight teeth from your
mouth?
I was
in junior high, yeah.
How many teeth did you have?
Normal amount? Yeah, normal amount, but everything was crooked, and they said, we need to remove some teeth so there's room for everything to straighten out. 12 shots of Novocaine, three up in the hard palate.
A sunburn's terrible. I'm shocked you're not referencing the hemorrhoid on Christmas.
That's a pretty tough one.
If you're operating...
What hurt more, the sunburn or the hemorrhoid?
Well, once I went to the doctor and got relief, I was better.
Then it's just them being in that area.
The sunburn was like all week. There's nothing you could do.
No.
You got to wait.
And so it was more days of absolute torture than
peeling your back like a snake.
Yeah. Once the hemorrhoid got to the point, it's like, I don't care. I can't take this. Let's go to urgent care on Christmas Eve and get this taken care of.
Nice to hang out, man. Mail sack question. Who had the worst weekend for the Blazers? Tommy Two Nickels, Shaden Sharp, or Donovan Clingan?
Ooh. Why did Tom Dundon have the worst weekend?
I don't know why Tom would have the worst.
Mail sack.
Okay. It has to be Shaden for
me. Well, Shaden's getting traded.
Because he's going to get traded.
Yeah. Yeah, as bad as the other guys have been.
Donovan Clingan has been horrible and unplayable in this series, and you could argue Shaden's maybe been better than him, although we're kind of splitting hairs at that point.
Not on defense.
I just, Shaden at this point, it's like, it is what
it is.
It's
over.
It's not.
It's over.
You're yelling out defensive plays at him, and he doesn't understand what you're yelling at him, and he gives up an easy bucket. He's not playing more than 13 minutes, and he has no confidence. The coach has no confidence in him.
Yep.
That is one of the more obvious this is heading for a divorce that we've seen in a while. And it's a bummer, man. I'm rooting for him to succeed. We've always liked Shaden, but I think it's easily Shaden for me.
Yeah, same.
Agree?
I would say Clingan.
You think Clingan worse?
Why Clingan? Because he's not getting traded.
Did you expect more out of him?
Yes.
Okay. Really?
I didn't know what we were going to get from Shaden. I don't think it's all necessarily Shaden's fault.
I mean, he only played a couple of games at the end of the regular season after his injury, to be fair.
But Clingan, you're looking at it, it's like you have to be a presence in some way, shape, or form. Either occupy Wemby at the other end, draw fouls on, do something, and he's just...
I think you worry. He's unplayable.
He's lost.
And if he's unplayable next year and Rob Will's gone... Johnson's ready?
No.
Hell yeah, he is.
Well, I mean, he might be, but like, I don't think we feel that way today. So the last thing you want is your franchise center to be unplayable.
Yeah.
As good as you can be defensively, it doesn't really matter if you actually can't stop people in the big moments on the big stage. And then if you have a nothing offensive game, what am I left to believe?
Yeah, it's tough. Mail sack for Coach Sprague. I'm coaching a youth baseball team this year. Wondering if you have any tips on how to motivate your players to give more effort.
Up, downs.
Make them run. Pull to pole.
It's a good pullback from earlier in the show.
Make them drop your gloves and run your ass off for the next 2 hours. That's what you're going to do.
I would say, like, there is a thing that I've seen both on my teams and then coaching at another club that there's a bit of like a let's lock in. And, you know, I'm not saying we didn't go through that when we were kids. We didn't have those moments where you have the kid that clearly is a certain way, but nobody talks about it. And they're not paying attention. They're goofing off all the time, getting yelled at. But
I feel like when that happened, it was an immediate lashing out from any coach I ever played for in my entire life.
Well, I would say in terms of the lock in is just continue to hammer the point and the importance of – it's time to show up. It's time to put in our work, and let's get better today. How do we get better today? We stay focused. We listen to the coach. We don't talk when the coach is talking. And if you guys can do that, you can find that you have a lot of success as a team. So I think it happens in a lot of sports, not just a baseball. You're doing a good thing by volunteering and helping out. We need people to be coaches. We need people to be coaches who care genuinely about the kids and not, let me post my Instagram photo with the tournament trophy because that's all I really care about, because that is disgusting. But as frustrating as it can be, just continue to hammer the point and the importance of locking in, holding each other accountable is a really important thing. Kids tend to be friends too much and they goof off instead of saying, yo, like, pay attention, man. You know, have leaders, develop leaders.
Yeah.
That's the best advice I think you can have, and give forth the effort. Every day you go home, you're going to be mentally wiped, and you're going to wonder why you're doing it at times, but they need you. So just hang in there and continue to hammer home the message of lock in.
One more here, mail sack question. I'm looking to start a podcast on local sports as well as national sports. You guys do a good job of touching on both. What would be your advice on how to keep notes, stats, and finding storylines to talk about that major media people have already touched on?
Always think about what your angle is. Think outside of the box from time to time. Like, why is your, opinion? You're going to have a lot of similar opinions to other people. How are you going to deliver it? Maybe that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And do generally what you love.
Yeah.
Like, don't pretend to talk about
sports you don't care about.
Yeah, like Mason Miller's a cool side story to me. He just had his endless inning streak.
Controversially, by the way.
Controversially.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, also, I don't know if that's worthy of a topic for me. I don't watch and cover a lot of Padres things. So, like, cover the stuff that you care about.
Talk about what you're passionate about. That helps. I would say avoid as much national media as you can.
Avoid a lot. Yeah.
Like, it's good to, like, get, you know, if you're up and coming and all that and you want to kind of hear the trade, that makes sense. But if you're in the middle of doing it, everybody's guilty of hearing something and saying to themselves, oh, that's a good point. And then you eventually regurgitate the same point. Right. And so I try to avoid as much of that. I'll read a lot more. I watch a lot of games. I don't like listening to, on things that we talk about, I do like listening to things in terms of educating myself on, like, draft prospects. I don't follow that very closely, so I can educate myself on topics like that. But things that we're going to talk about, I try to avoid as much of the narrative that I can so that you don't feel like you're coming up with
a copycat
kind of point, and you're kind of creating your own thing in your own head. And just watch and read as much as you can, man. That's basically all it is. Drives my wife nuts when you're sitting around at 12:30 on a Sunday and it's 80 degrees outside. Yeah. It's like, sorry, babe, it's game four. Then we'll go outside. I promise. Gardening will happen. Outside time will happen. So there's sacrifices you got to make to it, but that's the only advice.
Also, shoot your shot on guests.
Yeah, take yeah.
I learned that at an early age. Like, you're going to swing and miss a lot. Try for guests.
That's how I got in eventually at this station. I don't know if I ever told this story. I sent, back in the old days, Isaac and Suki used to have a Facebook page that was their own Facebook page. It's a picture of them and Kevin Nealon. I remember it vividly. And I sent a message in college of, like, hey, when do you guys want to come on my college radio show? And they responded, and Sukana came on my college radio show. I think it was something had happened with BYU too, and I was like, this is perfect timing. I can actually talk about this. And it was on right after primetime was over. He came on the college radio show, and I saved his contact, and I sent him an email months later, and I was like, yo, how do I, you know anybody? And he gave me Swag's contact information, sent my info in, and I ended up getting an internship. So shooting your shot can lead to good things. As Michael Scott tells us, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's right.
Can also be heartbreak when you're introduced to Swag at a Oregon State football game by another media member and he doesn't respond.
Yeah, I mean, who is this? He didn't look at you like Bill
did. He hated me from day one. He's like, screw this cat.
Talk about not being interested. He did not have eyes for you.
Yeah, he did not have eyes for me.
You're not getting invited to the jazz club tonight. He's saving that invite for somebody
else. I was thinking of dudes.
all righty, there you go. That is your mail sack. And every single week, ladies and gentlemen, it happens from 9 to 9:30. It's brought to you by Sparta TRT. Whether you're hitting the gym or just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge and win it the second half of life at SpartaTRT.com. Thanks, everybody, for the questions. Good work, good work, good work. Let's get back into the Blazers. Game five tonight. Is it over? That's next. Hey, are we excited for Travis Pisano to make his debut? Is that tonight? He's getting the call up. Is he in the lineup tonight?
Yeah, I'm excited about
this. This evening, he's playing some Major League Baseball.
Number one pick. It sounds like he's been doing a great job in
the
minor
leagues. Was it 2 years?
2 years.
24 first round pick.
Him and
so
Rutschman.
Not quite full 2 years, right? Because it would have been the summer of 24.
Yeah.
So about a year and a half ago-ish. Yeah. Or almost 2 years, I guess.
I'm excited to watch him play. You got him
first
and Kwan.
Game up. Yeah. 3-10.
Two beefs.
All right, well, that's kind of cool. I saw that headline yesterday, big-time prospect, number one overall pick. Always cool to see those guys make their debuts. We got game five tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And we got to come up with a poll question here in this segment.
What's the poll question?
I think we could do something along the lines of who has been the most disappointing performer in the series. To the mail sack question.
You don't want to wait for the series to be done for that.
To this
question.
Point. I think it's just to this point in the series, who's been your most disappointing Blazer?
Okay.
And P1 Bob chimed back in and said it was mainly just all the narratives around Tom Dundon is why he put that out there. Like,
gotcha.
The noise has not stopped. And the T-shirts weren't there. And
some of that's out of Dundon's control, right? Like, Donovan and Shaden, they control what we talk about. Dundon's is like, hey, I had a meeting with a guy at the Final Four, and somebody leaked that conversation.
And everybody's running with it.
Right, yeah.
I think your four candidates would have to be Shaden Sharpe.
Yeah.
Donovan Clingan.
Yep.
Tamani Kamara.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy Grant.
And Jeremy Grant.
I mean,
that's your big four.
Yeah.
So to that question, we'll throw it up here on at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. You can go vote. And by the way,
I think it's going to end up being Shaden.
Your neighborhood restaurant group brings you the fan poll question on X every day and dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Laura Hurst Market Steakhouse. So you think it'll end up being Shaden will be the answer?
Yeah, I think far and away it's going to be Shaden. So it's Shaden, it's Donovan, it's Tamani, and Jeremy?
Has to be.
I think
is there
so.
Anybody else that's deserving of falling in that? Like, Scoot, I know, goes scoreless, but he won you game
no,
two.
No, it's those four.
Right. Like, yeah. Drew's had some ups and downs offensively, but he's been good. Robert Williams has been awesome.
It's clinging for me because in order to give yourself a chance, he had to be a presence and offer something against Wemby. Mm. And then especially when Wemby was out in that game, But Cornette's torched him just as much as Wemby. And
dude, where is this coming from? Has he always been this good?
Who?
Cornette?
I feel like Cornette was good in Boston.
He was just like the 12th guy in Boston.
He's always in the right spot. He's always making the right play.
I don't want to sound like the I don't like to play the card. He was one of those, like, if you watched him play in Boston, I'm not overly shocked he's doing this.
Didn't get as much opportunity.
Yeah, he was a really good role guy.
It looks like it, dude. I totally get it. I think I would have to go Jeremy just for the financial reasons. Like, you're getting paid $35 million a year, and you were a minus 40 through the first two games of the series.
Kamar and Sharp also on contracts.
I know that they are, but you can also make the argument they're young, and this is the first time they've ever been in the playoffs.
Jeremy's
go back to game one, what was one of the storylines Blazer fans glommed onto? Hey, you know, we got some guys who have been there. Drew, Robert Williams, Jeremy Grant.
Two of those guys have actually come through, though.
Two of those have come
and
through.
And one of them is not.
Players.
And he's making $35 million. Yeah. With, by the way, he's got a player option coming up for $36 million, and he's definitely going to pick
up. And as much as Kamara's offense has been spotty, I mean, he's chasing around as many guys. He's trying to draw fouls.
He's trying to have an impact on the other end of the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, tonight to me is look, you need these guys we're mentioning to give you something.
Everybody's got a hit shot.
But tonight is like, can Denny also be Hercules?
Yeah.
I it's not fair to him, some of this, but like also,
if you're number one, there's an element of raising to the occasion.
You have to be a 35 points tonight. If you're going to get eliminated, cool.
He did it in game one. He went off in game one, so don't tell me he can't do it against San Antonio.
No. There were literally games LeBron James got eliminated his first go around in Cleveland, and people were like, I think he quit. And his stat line was like 35, 11, and 16. And it's like, well, but did you see the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter? And it's like, yeah, the guy by himself.
We're down by 15 points.
Yeah, when he had already played 39 minutes.
Right.
Carried us through
and taking this team that should not even be in the playoffs to the Eastern Conference. Like, if people are going to, jokingly or not jokingly, if they're going to be putting you in the Luka, LeBron, Wimby.
I mean, we had Blazer fans comparing him to LeBron last week. That happened.
If you're doing that, and I don't think that's everybody.
No.
But if you think he's the one and he's the one you build it all around, yeah. I mean, it's not always fair that we do it to these guys. You got to go give me a 34-point plus night and just have one of those mammoth nights. And if you fell short, I have nothing to say about you.
Nah, go down swinging.
It's going to be more about all these other question marks that we have.
And when he puts his head down and drives, he's really got it. They have to be so much more conscious. Maybe somebody has to shout out. They got to know where Wemby is. Because if you go too far, he's blocking your shot or he's altering it where you're throwing up a prayer.
Yeah.
Pull up and hit mid-range jumpers. If you get by your first guy, if they come run you off the three-point line, you get by.
Take down a little eight-footer.
And then if you pull up out at the free throw line where you can get him out a step, then maybe you can throw lobs to Rob Will or Shaden or who's ever in there.
Right. Yeah.
But he can't just have head down, Barry, go to the line. He's not going to get those whistles. He's not getting them in the series. You're certainly not going to get them in San Antonio.
Yeah, what's he averaging right now in the series for free throw attempts?
He is averaging.
He got a bunch in game one.
Yeah,
he did.
Game three, remember his stat line in game three
atrocious.
19,
he made three field goals. He had 16 attempts.
He is averaging 9 a game.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, that's
he had
close
60.
To a season average.
He had 6 in game one, 5 in game two, 16 in game three, 9 in game four.
Yeah, so that game three
his
is
game
a
three stat
wonky.
Line is just makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, you can't take it all the way into Wemby.
So
you have to make Wemby take a step out and move him so you create space somewhere else.
Yeah. Went for 30, 14, 19, and then 26. He's averaging 22 points per game in the series. His splits, like shooting wise, he's shooting 43% from three. In the series.
How many is he attempting?
He's 3.5 a game, 5-2-4-3.
If you're shooting that well, like that's something, bump it up to 6.
Yeah, if you're shooting the clip, like we need somebody to knock down some open shots. Yeah.
Especially come out of the game firing if they're, you know, protecting against the drive a little more.
This is the thing about
fire a couple off
that I'm glad they're in the playoffs again. This conversation to me, some people can hear this and roll their eyes like, you guys are talking like a problem is Denny. No, we talked about the problem at nauseam. We know who the problems are.
You can't score. That's the problem.
Who are they talking about in Detroit today? You think it's about Asur Thompson, or is it about Cade Cunningham and him being the one and having 24 turnovers in three games? Like when you go through the towns and the cities that are struggling or they're losing in the series, this is what you get. Welcome to being a 2-1 of a team. It's like this is the pressure. It's not fair to Denny Avdia that Tumani Kamara is averaging 7 points in the series. It's not fair to Denny Avdia that Donovan Klingon's been a nothing burger or Jeremy Grant has had a horrible, horrible series. This is the NBA, though, man. If you want to contend, what do you need? You need a number one.
Yep.
Or you got to find out if you have a number one or is he a stellar number two.
Yep.
Because I've already backtracked on my number three stance. I've given away on that. Tonight is a night for me, despite how bad some of these dudes have been and unplayable, I just go out there and be a wrecking ball and say, I'm ending my season with 35 points, and I don't really care.
I'm taking it to the hoop, and I'm going to do it all night long.
I'd be super stoked to see that.
We'll put the poll question up. You can go vote on that one, and then we will have some final thoughts. Do they cover the number tonight? Does it come to an end in a blowout? What are your thoughts on the Blazers as their season comes to an end, or does it come to an end tonight? We'll close up the show on a Tuesday. We'll do it next on The Fam.
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Let me ask him with our shooting woes, why the hell isn't Veet Krejci playing? I thought he was a dynamite three-point shooter. Get his ass out there.
He's only able to play garbage time because we made the trade for shooting to not play this year. But he's got a great contract. He barely makes $1 million.
Because Kennard was a deadline deal too, right? Another average white shooter.
But did we have the cap space for it?
How much is Luke Kennard making?
I don't know.
I'm going to pull that up right now.
What did they trade?
He is on a one-year, $11 million contract.
Well, V. Krejci's like a $1 million deal for the next 2 years.
They traded for Luke Kennard. They sent the Hawks Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, that's right.
And a 2032 second-round pick.
We have like 9 second-round picks. We probably could have got him with 4.
We got a Gabe Vincent on our team.
Now, Luke Kennard's not make or break in our series here.
No, but we could use a shooter.
But that one game he had that they won.
He won them a game in the playoffs.
He won them a game in the playoffs.
Him and LeBron like, teamed up and won them a game.
You know, I brought that up after our show once that like, hey, that's a good little move. And I was laughed at about that take and then told Veet Krejci is a good little move and one's not playing.
Veet's not in the lineup. I don't think he's going to be our savior tonight. I don't think that will happen.
Okay. He can't get 5 minutes? If you hate Shaden Sharp,
we have no minutes to spare.
And Chris
Murray
is a literal nothing burger for offense.
No minutes
to
spare.
Who, to me, is not that amazing on defense, and will pull down one key offensive rebound. We can't give Veet Krejci 5 minutes and say, shoot twice, see what happens, otherwise you'll be on the pine.
Is Chris Murray our best candidate to go knock Wemby out?
No.
Who's our best guy?
Like the most likely or who was our best candidate?
Like the guy, like, I don't care. Like, you're not going to beat him up and get him tossed out of the game. The Greg Oden plan.
Sidy Sissoko.
Sidy Sissoko is our guy?
Because he kind of got in there and was a little feisty when he got in game 4.
Okay. Go kick him in the nuts.
Sidy Sissoko is absolutely the guy that's playing for his career.
Dylan Brooks is up. He's going to Cancun. Is he available tonight? Can we bring him in for a game just to whack him in the face, get him all pissed off?
See, SGA basically call him a fraud.
I thought he was very complimentary of him after the game.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. He's like, I know Dylan. Like, he said his name in a way that
bad behavior was a fraudulent.
Like, I know Dylan. Dylan gets a bad reputation.
Well,
Dylan's
they're teammates for Canada, right?
Yeah. But it was just fun. It's like, guy's a gangster. His real name's Clarence. It had that kind of vibe to it. It's like, Dylan? I know Dylan.
Yeah,
we play together.
Dylan. Nobody believes you, Dylan. The line tonight is 11.5.
Dylan's not the most intimidating name.
No, you need a more intimidating name.
Like, what is the, when you guys think of tough, probably going to kick my ass, what's the name that comes to your mind? It ain't Dylan.
It ain't Dylan. That's
not that
for
Dylan
sure.
Can't beat me up. Dylan
there's
probably
a lot of Dylans
up.
That could beat me up for sure. Dylan is not. Dylan is more of a friendly name. When I think of a Dylan, I think, that seems like a nice guy.
Like Andy, who's coming over tonight?
Andy's not intimidating.
Dylan's coming over.
Yeah.
Oh, make sure we got the snacks. Dylan eats all the snacks.
Yeah.
Moses.
Moses is intimidating or friendly?
Intimidating.
Intimidating.
Moses.
There's a kid in my neighborhood with the name Moses.
You meet a lot of Moseses?
I don't.
I had one in middle school that I knew. Really good guy.
Yeah, when I heard that the neighbors had a kid named Moses, I thought, that's badass.
Do you know the guy, though, that was like ahead of you in the puberty department and just cut like he had lifted the million, all the weights?
Yeah.
That was Moses. Mm. Super nice guy. Absolutely would have annihilated me if I pushed.
Carrying those tablets around, man. They're heavy.
Came down from the mountain.
Up and down.
Yeah.
That's you talk about up and downs.
That's tough.
Vertical stair, you're climbing.
That's tough.
That's not easy to do. You're going to get shredded doing that.
Yeah, I don't know what the name would be, but Dylan is not the name that I think like most intimidating name.
No, it's not. I don't know if our Greg Oden strategy is going to work out to just try and get him into a fight and get him ejected from the game. It is 6:30 on ESPN tonight. Final thoughts. By the way, let me take a quick look at the restaurant group, neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day.
Sure.
Right now, it's actually counting votes today. How about that progress? It appears at least early.
It'll kill it.
Shade and Sharp, 38.5%. Jeremy Grant, 30.8%.
Interesting.
Donovan Klingon, 23.1%. And Tumani Kamara, 7.7%.
I would have had... I actually would think most people would be a swag. It's a poll question that doesn't have the representative vote because I think the expectations were a little higher for Donovan than I don't know where people were on Shade.
Did they cover tonight?
No.
No, but I bet them first half spread. I think they come out fight.
What is the first half line? Probably 5.5.
I don't know.
Four and a half, somewhere in that range.
Come on, let me
take a look at that. I don't mind that strategy.
I think they end up getting blown out, but like they don't play like that. Does that make sense?
This one's got lopsided written all over it to me. But the Blazers have been a feisty bunch all year, man. Like, they've done things that we didn't really give them credit for, so maybe they end up putting a scare into San Antonio tonight and dragging them out into the deep end and seeing what could happen. The way you lost the second half of the game, San Antonio finding their groove a little bit, back at home, a chance to eliminate and get some rest for Wemby.
Portland plus 7.5.
I like that first half.
That's my bet, minus 110.
Okay, that's going to be your bet for the night.
Yeah.
I will take the Spurs minus 11.5 tonight. Whatever happens, we will talk about it tomorrow on the show. Is it a welcome to the offseason show or, hey, we got another game? We'll all find out together tonight. Thanks so much for being a part of our Tuesday, everybody. If you missed it, Greg Oden was on the show today. Yes, that Greg Oden. He was awesome. Go check it. 1051thefan.com on YouTube as well at the 8 a.m. mark. Really good stuff from Greg and had a fun conversation with him. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm. If Harrison Moreng is next, listen to 1051 FM The Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.